Agada begins with creating the structure of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We often point out that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim on the night of Pesach, is different than the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim that we have every single day. And then Baal Haggadah opens up by describing and establishing the structure of the mitzvah itself, that the mitzvah should be done in a way that is involved with questions and answers, shelos and tshuvos. It should be done with the mitzvahs right in front of one, holach ma'anya. It should be done as a story, as an ending, as going on and on and on. And that's why we have that even the Gedolei Yisrael, the Tanoim, spend the entire night telling the story. Until the students came in the morning. I saw an interesting comment from Rav Osher Weiss, who is one of the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael. He points out that there is a medrash which says that Rabbi Eliezer, when he used to learn Torah, so his face lit up, and it was so bright, and there was such light in the room, it was as if it was daytime. So he says that might be why the Talmidim had to tell them when it was morning. We usually assume they had to tell them when it was morning because they were in hiding, because it was during Roman times, and they weren't allowed to learn. and the Talmidim, apparently, they didn't have the same patience as the Rebbeim, perhaps. She suggested this would be another interpretation, that the room in itself was so full of light that they had no concept of the when daytime was coming until the Talmidim came from outside and told them it's already time to say Shacharis. But the reason why we point this out is because this is what's unique tonight of Leil Seder, that it's not a night of pulling together information. It's a night when ideas are expressed and are explored, and therefore, afilu chachamim, we still have an obligation. We know the entire story. We may have gone over the text for many, many years, but the evening is supposed to be set aside for getting some sense and some feeling for the Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. So the beginning of the night establishes a structure. And that's what we often point out, that we often lose a lot of time, I don't say lose time, we often spend a lot of time discussing the structure of the mitzvah, and we rush the actual Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which takes place later on. The structure that every child should be addressed in his own level, and that it should lead up to a sense of Hoidoyah, Baruch HaMokim, Baruch Hu, that the mitzvah is dafka that night, not from Rosh Chodesh. So I would say that there are a few important ideas over here that are even established by the beginning of the Seder. One is that the mitzvah does have a structure, that's one of the concepts which Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael when we left Mitzrayim. When a slave is not able to structure his own time. He's continuously meshubad to what other people want him to do. Avodas Parach, the Medrash says that the slaves were told to dig holes, to fill holes, Pitzim Veranzeis they were building, but they weren't the balabatim of their own time, and they couldn't establish their own structure. In fact, the Medrash says that to Gemara Numa, that the Jews, when they were released from Mitzrayim, so that not only had they declined in their sanctity, and they had reached the 49th level of Tumah, they had declined in the way they conducted themselves as human beings. And the Gemara says in Yuma that Moshe Rabbeinu established meal times for the Jews. In other words, as they were Avodim, they didn't have meal times, they didn't have breakfast, they didn't have dinner. They chopped things on the run. They had, as they were leaving the house, they had to get to the place where they'd be picked up, and had to get there in such a big rush. So they just chopped, they came home, they were so exhausted. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to establish certain menschlichkeit for the Jewish people. But that's the very first idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us, certain ideas of structure. There's a morning time, there's a dinner time, there's a time to eat. Certain ideas of structure, Achadish Zalachem, there is time, there is month. Even the mitzvahs have structure to them. You have to figure out what's the point of the mitzvah, what are we trying to accomplish? That we're trying to figure out certain kinds of mitzvahs, understand certain mitzvahs. We have the mitzvah of Sipur is not just to move on in a way that a person just moves from idea to idea to idea, but there is a certain goal to get to the point where we understand the mitzvahs better, to get to a certain feeling that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself brought us out, and that we ourselves benefit from the Yetzia. The question and answer. I think my father would point out to us that one of the things that an Eved can't do is he can't ask questions. A slave can't say, why are we building Pitom and Ramses? And if he would, so the answer would not be that significant. Avodas Parach means he doesn't ask, why are we moving this? Because 5 minutes later, they move something else. A slave can't ask, why are we building 5 rows of bricks? Why we have so much, a slave is supposed to do what they tell him to do. So the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Chazal say that the Siva should take place by question and answer. We begin to understand that as a free people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be able to raise certain questions, to appreciate that freedom. We do many things, Leil Seder, Kedei Sheshalu Atinokos, the kids will ask. If you're a slave, you don't encourage the kids to ask, it'll only be frustrating. They'll get inquisitive and curious kids, and what's going to happen? So they'll also be bricklayers. They'll also end up putting one brick on top of the other. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now that we are free people, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us mitzvahs, we have to structure our own time, take responsibility for our own time, and take responsibility for our own thinking and our own ideas. So therefore, one of the ways in which we express freedom is to be able to raise questions and to encourage people to ask questions. I saw that in the Sif Seichayim, Rav Chaim Friedlander points out that Avodim Hayinu Lefarim Mitzrayim Vayitzionu Hashem Elokeinu Misham V'yod Chazok Avzorim Natu V'ilu Lo Tzio Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if Kodesh Baruch Hu would not have taken our forefathers out, Hari Onu Uvandeinu V'nevneinu Mishubonim Hayinu Lefarim Mitzrayim. So many of the Mefarshim ask, is that necessarily so? There have been, even in the last in the last 2 decades, there have been uprisings, there have been rebellions, there have been nations who have been able to overthrow, certainly in the course of time. It's conceivable that Mitzrayim will become a little bit more democratic, be able to make our way out. And there are many, many terutzim. And Reb Chaim Friedlander's insight is that if HaKadosh Baruch would not have freed us on his own, then we would always have, no matter how bad the Shemitah would be, we'd always have some element of gratitude towards the power that redeemed us. Sof, let's say a power comes up and he's open to giving us some sense of freedom, so we would say, oh, here's an enlightened power. We finally got a power that has a little bit of feelings for us, a little bit of concern for us. In fact, one of the Hasidic Rebbeim says that that's why it says, Vayonchu b'nei somen ha'avoda was after Paro died. Because when they thought, maybe the next Paro will be better. But when the next Paro had carried out the same program as the first Paro, so they said, Ein lo nevel Hashem lo v'kid, nothing's going to happen over here. So Reb Chaim Friedlander points out that he says that if there would be a Paro who would redeem us, there would be some movement amongst the Egyptians, and there'd be some thinking amongst the Egyptian people that it's time to give us a break, so when we leave Mitzrayim, we'd always have an ounce of Akoras Atov to the Mitzrayim. So why is that so terrible? Like some of the say, we do have to have a little bit of Akoras Atov, because they house us for a period of time. The problem would be that we'd always be a little bit influenced by Egyptian thought. We'd always say, it's not so terrible. Not so bad, it's not as bad as the Romans, who were unthinking altogether. It's not as bad as the Europeans who hounded us in the Black Ages and in medieval times. At least the Egyptians, after all said and done, they let us out. So Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want us to have any hashpah at all, to have any influence at all from Egyptian thought. We shouldn't have even an ounce of Akoras Atov. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, if Kadosh Baruch Hu would not have taken us out alone, if he would have moved things, he would have moved Paro to think a little bit more compassionately, if he would have moved the Egyptian people, Harei Onu Benenu Mishubodim, we'd have some element of Akoras Atov. So he suggests that this principle explains several ideas. And this is another Mefarshim said as well. For example, the Ksav Sofer explains that that's why we went out for Rechush Gadol. Why do we have to go out with so much money? So Ksav Sofer says because Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us that we should be paid for our work. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have, when we leave, we have the feeling of being, that Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of us, we were employees, and we shouldn't feel that there's anything coming to us from it. So Chaim Friedlander is a little bit different. He says that by the Kodesh Baruch Hu working it out that the Egyptians lent us. Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu work it in a strange way? That the Egyptians should lend us, and even that the Kodesh Baruch Hu had to work out. Why didn't he work out to give us a gift? Why didn't he work it out that we could just walk into Egyptian homes and pick it up? See, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted the Egyptians to lend it to us, and then as the Medrash said, they'd have Harata, and then they run after us and try to get it back, and we'd walk away with it. So that we wouldn't feel that the Egyptians gave it to us, Balev Shalem. We wouldn't feel they gave us gifts. We wouldn't have to look back and say that the furniture we have is from Mitzrayim. That the candelabra we have is from Mitzrayim. Nothing. We shouldn't have any sense of a course. This would explain the Medrash that says that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, please go into the Egyptian homes and lend and borrow their gold and their silver. And the Medrash says, I wanted to do this because I promised this to the Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. I promised Avram that they'd go out b'rechush gadol. It's a very strange Medrash that Kodesh Baruch Hu was training us that when Mitzrayim is burning, right, and when our whole world is changing, so we should go over and make sure that we get some gold and some silver. It's a very, very strange way of beginning Geula. And when you think about it, that we did much better at Kriyas Yamsuf, we're going to become rich anyways. So why did Kodesh Baruch Hu want us to walk out Rechush Gadol from Mitzrayim? Why is it phrased as I promised this to Avram, and I have to keep my promise? So I think that this would explain it. Kodesh Baruch Hu promised Avram Avinu that his children would be Avram's children. They wouldn't be Avram's children with a little bit of Egyptian culture, a little bit of Egyptian thinking. He promised Avram Avinu they'd be pure, thoroughbred Avram's children. So he promised Avram, don't worry, they're going to leave Mitzrayim, and I'm going to work it out in such a way that they'll borrow it from the Mitzrayim. That they'll go out b'rechush gadol, they'll have everything. On one hand, they'll feel that they were taken care of, they feel that they were employees, that they received wages. And on the other hand, they'll realize it's coming from me. It's not coming from the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim don't want to give it to them. They can leave Mitzrayim, and even on the way out, the Mitzrayim are going to be running after them. So I'll work it out for you, Avram Avinu, that they'll borrow the gold and the silver, and that they'll feel it's coming from me, and therefore it will not be the source of any good feelings, any warm feelings towards Mitzrayim. And Reb Chaim Friedlander suggests that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they only there for 3 days. It's one of the unusual pieces of the story, that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, we only need 3 days. We only need 3 days. And that's an ongoing theme that Paro says, for 3 days, and how much do you need for 3 days? And you're only going to do, bring have a chag, a holiday for your God. So at what point was did the plan change? Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu Mitzrayim it's just for 3 days? So Chaim Friedlander suggests that, and this is also an idea that you find in earlier Sfarim as well. I think I once saw it in Sefer Todah as a similar idea by Rabbi Yochitov, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted the Jews to run away. He did not want to be a shutef with Paro. He didn't want that after all said and done, Paro was the one who freed them. After all said and done, Paro threw them out, and Paro chased them out. He chased them out for 3 days. And we know that Paro sent with the Jewish people, he sent guards. He wanted them back after 3 days. And after 3 days, when the Jews packed up their bags and were going further into the desert, then they're called Iktorin. Then the guards went back to Mitzrayim and told Paro, this nation is running free. They're going for it. Ki barach omazeh. So Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted it to be that Paro now comes after the Jewish people and tries to bring them back in. So the Jews should understand Paro did not free them. He did not have an ounce of concern to actually let the Jews go, and that's what we mean. Are we under Bandeinu? For Kodesh Baruch Hu, we never work it out this way. That's what the pasuk says: Lo sisaev mitzri ki geri yisav arzo. That you can't despise a mitzri because so sof you were a geri there. It doesn't say because shesholchu misham shesof paro. It says you were a geri there. All right, they didn't treat you well. They treated you like an immigrant. They didn't take care of you. All right, but there was a little bit of shelter. But that's the extent of it. Because anything more than that could have brought about some good feelings. And once there are good feelings, then that could bring about it's concerned that we may absorb some of their culture, some of their thought. We begin the actual discussion of the Yetzias Mitzrayim with the Rami Ovid Avi. Just before that, we say Mitchila Ovli Avodah Zarah Yoveseinu, because the Gemara says that we have to begin Matzilu Mignai Umesaimim Mishvach. So, unfortunately, point out that also is unique about Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim as opposed to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the Sefer has this structure. You got to begin with the bad news and move to the good news. I think the Ksav Sefer says the same thing is true about the Megillah. The Megillah begins with the bad news. The Megillah begins with the story of how of our Yerid, of our decline in under Achashverosh, and then builds up to the begins with the story of how Haman is running after us, because that's apparently that's part of Pesumi Nisa, elaborating and how Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. So that's by beginning with the bad news, with the decline of the Jewish people, and then discussing how he moves forward. In fact, the decline of the Jewish people always is a physical and a spiritual decline as well. And that's stressed in the Haggadah as well. So let's just first look at this Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Yoveseinu. That at first our forefathers were Avodah Zaraniks, V'achshav Kerman HaMakom L'Avodas, and now Kadosh Baruch Hu brought us close to his Avodah. Shenemar, V'yomer Yoshua L'Kol Ha'om, Ko'amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael Be'Eiv Ha'Anor, when Yeshua is letting go of the Jewish people, giving up his leadership, so he tells the Jewish people, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want to give you some background. How did we get to this point? That Kadosh Baruch Hu took Be'Eiv Ha'Anor, Ko'amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael Be'Eiv Ha'Anor, Yoshua V'Seinu, Avoseichem Me'olam, your forefathers lived on the other side of Eretz Yisrael, on the northern side, Terach avi arvom avi nocher v'yavdu Elohim acherim, and they were of the Zoranix. Ve'kaches avichem es arvom me'eva nor va'olach osol b'chol eretz kenon, and I took Avram from the other side of Eretz Yisrael, and I took him all the way through Eretz Yisrael. Va'arbe zaro ve'etin, and I gave Yitzchak, ve'etin Yitzchak as Yaakov, and I gave Yaakov to Yitzchak, and I gave Yitzchak Esav as well, and I gave Esav Har Seir. And Yaakov and his children go down to Mitzrayim. And that's the end of the proof text. That's supposed to prove what we just said. That we were once Avodah Zaraniks and God brought us close to Avodasa. So that we were once Avodah Zaraniks and we told them Avodah Zaraniks, so we understand. That the Avodah Zara had an impact on the Jewish people, so that Yaakov Melissa points out, we mentioned this from time to time, that is clear in Chumash. Because we brought the Avodah Zarah with us out of Lavan's house, but that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was mekarev us, the achshav kervonu amokim la'avodasa, that God brought us close. What does it happen over here? We end up being in Mitzrayim. So I guess one interpretation would be that, but the Mitzrayim was the Kor HaBarzel. Mitzrayim was the refinery. So it was through the refinery of Mitzrayim that Kadosh Baruch Hu, but still ikir chosam and asefer.
What
was that? The Yachshav.
Now,
yeah, Yachshav Kirvanu, I would assume it means Leil Seder. Leil Seder. So if we would stress the Makos, okay, Kirvanu Makavadosa, if we'd stress Kriyas Yamsov, but we don't say anything at all. We speak about Avram and Yitzchak going to Eretz Yisrael, then landing up and giving Esav Har Seir. So if Sechaim, Reb Chaim Friedlander has the following insight. He says, what's happening over here is, if we look at this very carefully, we'll see these are all different points of Bechira when Kadosh Baruch Hu chose the Jewish people. You come from a people who live to the north of Eretz Yisrael. They had nothing to do with the Rabbanu Shalom. And what is our next? The pagans. So that was the first point of Bechira. However we understand, whether we understand that was Avram Avinu figuring out the Ribbono Shelom, or whether Ekaches Avichem is the Kibshon Ha'esh, is the furnace of Erkazdim that Hashem freed Avram Avinu. But Ekaches Avichem is Avram, that is Kervonu Hamokim Levad. That's the first step av kervanu amokim la'avaydasei. Va'oleich osov b'chal eretz kenon. That's the second step. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, lech lecha. Come to Eretz Yisrael. Come to Eretz Yisrael and set up simonim for your children. And they'll take Eretz Yisrael. Kumas aleich v'aretz. Establish a connection with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, our connection with Eretz Yisrael is a sign of Mechira. God was choosing Avraham Avinu, was giving him something. And Yitzchak was born, that was an act of Bechira. It was a nice that Yitzchak was born. Both the age of Sarah and the Akkar of Sarah, Ve'etein Yitzchak is Yaakov. Yaakov was also a nice. So every single point was Kadosh Baruch Hu expressing how he's going to choose exclusively the Jewish people. Ve'etein le'esav is Harseir. And I sent Esav away. I gave him our say, he shouldn't be in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov, one of your doom Mitzrayim, and now that I've set all of this up, everything's in place, I've showed you so many times that I was choosing Klal Yisrael, that I was, that's Kervonu, Hamokim Lavidose. After we thank the Rebbeinu Shlomo for maintaining his promise of Rechush Gadol, so we point out that this is not unique to Mitzrayim. This is an interesting comment within the Haggadah. Shebechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chal eisenu. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyodom. We take a pause for a moment. It's very interesting that we pause for a moment and say this is not a unique experience, Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it's happened over and over again. And we seem to be expressing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings us to a decline, both physically and spiritually. Because the very next line is, Tzei Ulmad, Ma Bikesh, Lovan Harami Lasos, LeYaakov Avinu. Look what Lovan wanted to do to Yaakov Avinu. What did he want to do to Yaakov Avinu? Sheparo LeGozer El HaZacharim, Paro decreed a physical demise of the Jewish people. But Lovan Bikesh, LaKor HaSakol, and Lovan wanted to do a spiritual destruction. Shenemar. But we know that Lovan wanted to destroy the Jewish people because he's Abanim Banai Vabanos Vanosai. He wanted to claim ownership over this. As far as we understand, this is what Rabbi Yaakov and Lisa points out. Lovan was very instrumental in trying to inculcate paganism in Yaakov's children. So we want to stress that whenever we undergo a decline, it's both a physical and a spiritual decline. That's what the Vilna Gaon says, a very sharp word. The Vilna Gaon points out that when they come back to Yaakov Avinu, and they say, Yaakov, we have to take Binyamin as well. So he says, Alai hayu kulana. Right? He says, I lost Yosef already, and I lost Shimon already, and now you'll take Binyamin. Says, a lie, all of these things are happening to me. So when the Gaon says, a lie, ayin lamed yud. Hayu kolona, ayin is Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. I already had these three major tzaras. Esav came to fight me, Lavan, and Yosef. So when the Gaon says, because when Yaakov Avinu went in to get the brachos, so he turns to Rivka, he says, it's not a good idea, I'm going to get caught. And then I'll get a klala. So Rivka says, "Alai kalascha b'ni." Right? He says, so "What is it?" How did Vilna Gaon say? "Alayin lamed yud." Esav, Lavan, Yosef, kalascha b'ni. He says the klala is already in place. Rivka says, "You're already going to suffer from Esav. You're going to suffer from Lavan, except for Yosef. You might as well get the brachos because that's already set. That's the gzera." So Yaakov Avinu, when he's afraid to lose Binyamin, he says, Alayhi kulana, it's happened already. He says, what's going on over here? I already had Esav, but my mother says it's going to happen, it's happened. So I shouldn't be losing Binyamin? Rosh Weiss writes in his Haggadah, the Minchas Osher, Rosh Weiss is, and they think that he might be one of the next Rashi of Yerushalayim. He's very up and coming, Godel Neretz Yisrael, and so he suggests that Esau was a physical demise, a physical threat. He wanted to kill us. Lavan was Lakaris Akal. Lavan was a spiritual threat. And Yosef was our inner problems. Yosef is the inner hatred that we sometimes manage, right? Sinus Achim. So that's what Rivka was saying. There are three problems that already are part of your part of the package. And Yaakov says, when they want to take Binyamin, he says, I had the three already. But this is the point is that this is becoming, this is part of Klal Yisrael's history. Weiss says that, he says, look at this century. So the Shoah, Hitler, Yimach Shemayim V'Zichroi, wanted our physical demise. And afterward, the communism, Stalin wanted our spiritual demise. And we're still taking care of the Klal of Yosef. So he says, that's what we want, that's the point. Selman is, we just said the Visha Amda. We want to point out that what we're going to be discussing, Leil Seder, is a model, unfortunately, for many, many periods in history. They want to destroy us. So Selman, you have to realize, it's not just a, it's not, it goes hand in hand. It's a physical threat against us, it's a spiritual threat against us. And the geula, because Baruch Hu brings about, is a geula from all of them. But what's interesting is that the geula, the redemption has to start from the Sinas Achim. Because the first thing that was patched together was when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, so it says, v'ra achicha v'samach b'libay. Right? The first thing Moshe came down, Moshe and Aaron were the first brothers who worked out in the Tanakh. Right? Maybe Menashe and Ephraim, maybe. But we're not sure. But Moshe and Aaron were the first brothers. All for Sefer Bereishis, the brothers did not work out. The opening of Shemos is Moshe Rabbeinu's concern that he shouldn't go down to Mitzrayim because Aaron's there. Aaron's the Navi. He's going to bump Aaron. So he's concerned about his brother. And because Baruch Hu says, you don't have to worry. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. We're maintaining the pattern. You're going to send the younger brother down. I'm going to become the more important Navi. I'm going to bump my brother. So once again, we're going to have Yosef and the brothers again. So Kadosh Baruch Hu had to assure him that he's going to meet you, he's going to be very excited about you. He's going to be happy, he'll welcome you. And Moshe and Aaron will work together all the way through. So that's the very beginning of the geula, that we get over the sinas chinam. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu helps us get over the spiritual problems that we have as well. So we begin to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We begin with this insight of the spiritual concern we always have to have, and that was a nagging concern in Mitzrayim as well. That Baruch Hashem we took care of it to some extent because we maintained our identity. But the first thing we say is Vayeri Mitzrayim Onos Al Pi Adibur, that Yaakov was sent down. Onos Al Pi Adibur, he was forced down. Because Baruch Hu forced him down. Where did Kadosh Baruch Hu force him down? Didn't he say Eilech ve'eno Eilcha ve'eno b'terem amus? He wanted to go down. He wanted to see his son Yosef. So what was the onus al piyadim? The pashtus is that this is the Ramban. The Ramban points out that when Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, so he went by Beersheba, and he brought korbanos in Beersheba. It says in the Pasuk that he brought korbanos He brought korbanos to the God of his father Yitzchak. So the Ramban says, he asks many questions. Number one, why does he stop in Beersheba? Number two, why is he bringing korbanos to the God of his father Yitzchak? What does he stop? What does he bring to the God of his father Avraham and Yitzchak? Ramban says he was hoping to repeat Yitzchak's history. Why? Because Yitzchak had a famine, and Yitzchak went down to Beersheba, and he brought korbanos in Beersheba, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Don't go any further. Don't go. You stay in Eretz Yisrael." So the Ramban says that as Yaakov Avinu was going down to Mitzrayim, he was terribly, terribly caught, and one of the most difficult dramas that one can be caught in. On one hand, he wanted to see his son. And he understood that his son was not able to come and see him. Eilech v'eno temem was. Right, before he had many years. He's able to have this tremendous rapprochement with Yosef. He's able to see Yosef's children. Yosef's wife. Right? On the other hand, he knew that this could be the beginning of the fulfillment of the Bris Ben Absorim, that his children will now be, he'll move the entire family. There's no base left in Eretz Yisrael. Right? So the entire family's moved to the Chutz Laaretz. There's nothing to bring them back. The father's there. And they're going to be settled there. So be for a short period of time. But this is beginning the Shivud. So the same father wants to see his son. And the same father knows that he could be starting every, and he goes down to every step. He takes him his arm. He's starting the Shivud Mitzrayim. He didn't know what to do. And the Ramban says part of him wanted the Ribbono Shel Olam to say, stay in Eretz Yisrael. Gur Baretz Zos, like he said to Yitzchak. So that's what he says. He goes to Be'er Sheva. He's hoping goes to the same place that Yitzchak went to. Right? He's hoping that he'll get the same Nevuah. At least part of him is hoping. And then he comes to, he brings the Korbonos L'Elokei Aviv Yitzchak. He's hoping Kadosh Baruch Hu will give him that kind of clarity. And it didn't happen. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, go down to Mitzrayim. V'Anochi, what's the Pasuk? Alo Gamalo. Right? So you go down. So that was Onos Al Pi Adibur.
Yeah.
Couldn't we suggest that Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes creates situations,
right,
which the Derech HaTeva, it doesn't look like he's forcing us, but the situation for Derech HaTeva and human nature would make the choices almost non-existent. And that's the onus.
Right. That's how many of the Forshim say. I think they quote that B'Shem the Briskerov, and I think the B'Shem the Sfasemas. Sfasemas has that approach. He says that onus al pi adibur means that the Ribbono Shel Olam set everything up. That there really wasn't, Yaakov really did not have much room to move. It doesn't mean Al-Pi Adibur literally, it wasn't a tzivoy, but Yaakov had, Kadosh Baruch Hu had arranged everything. The Ramban also makes this point. Yaakov, how did Yosef get to Mitzrayim? Kadosh Baruch Hu had arranged that Yosef would meet with the brothers and be alone and he'd find the brothers. And so the Ramban points out that that's one of the examples of Hagzeira emes v'acharitus sheker. There's a certain gezeira, and no matter how much you try, it's not going to change things. He points that out, that Yaakov Avinu, the fact that he created the Yosef and the brother situation is unusual. That's something unusual. A father of much lesser insight than Yaakov Avinu would not favor the son of his favorite wife. And would not give him the only colored coat amongst all the children. He wouldn't do that. Right? And so the fact that Yaakov set Yosef apart and then was a little bit distant and didn't realize that there was hatred there. And then the clincher is that when Yosef was going down to Mitzrayim, when Yosef was going to Shechem, he couldn't find the brothers. Right? But if Kesheyawish, he found the person. And that person happened to say, I overheard people saying, Nelcha Deisona. So Yosef, the Ramban says, Yosef had every right to say, he didn't want to go to begin with, it was not a safe situation, Yosef, he didn't like him. Even if he wasn't going to get killed, it was not going to be a happy event. He knew he was not going to be cheerful. So he could have gone back to his father and said, I tried, I went to Deisona, there was nobody, I went to Shechem, there was nobody there. Right? He could have gone back. So he happens to pursue it. And he finds one person, that was Gabriel. And that's the point. The point was, it's not Alfi Derech HaTeva. That happens to be a person. Yosef happens to be the one person. And then he asked that person directions. For a man to ask directions, that's also Alfi Derech HaTeva. So he asks directions. And that person happens to be the one person who happens to have overheard that they're going to go to Doisan. Right? So, and the fact that Yosef pursues, as the Ramban says, that Kiagzeira Emes, Nachavisa Kadosh Baruch Hu was setting all this up. Kadosh Baruch Hu said that Yosef would be in Mitzrayim, and Kadosh Baruch Hu set it up that Yaakov would be at a point where he would want to see Yosef and have to go down. So that's what the Svasema says, onos al piya dibur, that Kadosh Baruch Hu had set this up. This was not the Bechira of, or at least, it was a very, very limited Bechira in terms of the Yaakov Avinu. And even so, Yaakov's intent was to be there for a very short period of time. And then we point out that we went down as a small group of people, Bishiv Nofesh, Vahisham Lagoy Godol, Kadosh Baruch Hu made us into a great people, Malame Shah Yisrael Mitzuyanim Sham, and that we multiplied in an unusual way. And even though that we multiplied in an unusual way, we still, what the Baal HaGadol is pointing out, we say, Godol V'atzam, Isham L'goy Godol V'atzam. So that we were a goy, that we were distinct there, that's to our Shevach, that we kept our, it's to our great credit, that we kept our names, and we kept our clothing, kept our language. Godol V'atzam, because Baruch Hu gave us a large group of people. And then we say, V'rov, Kemosh and Ne'emar, God made us as multiplied as the growth of the field. And we came, and then it ends off, va'at eroin ve'eria. And you were devoid of the way the Medrash learns it. Literally, we were naked. But the Medrash says we were naked of mitzvahs. And then we jump back a pasuk, and we say, "Va'ever alayach me'erach mispesesim b'damayich, va'omolach b'damayich hayi, va'omolach b'damayich hayi." So what's the Baal HaGadol saying over here? We were multiplying at many, many, many children. We had six children per birth, and ba'at erim be'eria, and we were devoid of zechuyos. And apparently, the Baal HaGadol is saying is that we lost sight of things. That when we were Mitzrayim, so we were. You know, it was a checkered kind of a life. On one hand, we were Mitzuyanim Sham, we maintained a distinct, on the other hand, even though we were multiplying, going well beyond natural law, nevertheless, we apparently were slipping spiritually. Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, I was providing and providing, providing, miracles, 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 and nevertheless, no, we were slipping. Eirim ve'eria, ad kenei kach, that Kadosh Baruch Hu give us mitzvahs. He gave us va'omolach b'damaya chayit, two blood mitzvahs, the blood mitzvah of Dam Pesach and the blood mitzvah of Dam Bris. So this Rav Asher Weiss, I think, raises this question. He says that the Medrash is very far from the Pshat of the Pasuk over here, because va'ever alayach ve'erach mispeses b'damayach means I saw you suffering, I saw you surrounded by your blood. The omalach, and I said, b'damayach, even though you're in your blood, chayi, you'll live. The omalach b'damayach, chayi. This is not a cheerful pasuk. So somehow the Medrash takes the pasuk and sort of bends it against its pshat. And he says, the omalach, and I said, b'damayach, chayi, in your blood of mitzvahs. That's not really, it's such a strange thing to take a pasuk which is so dismal and desperate, and change it into be a pasuk of good news. So this is a fascinating comment that this Rav Asher Weiss makes. Somebody pointed this out to me, and because he's an Eretz Yisrael dicker, but here he is clearly, there's no question in my mind that he must have read the Rav's drasha called Odido Fake, and he said, because he has used the exact same nusach. And he says that there are two kinds of dam. There's dam goral and dam yud. There's dam which is our fate, and dam which is our destiny. That was the famous word that the Rav pointed out, that he puts in very, very broad terms. He speaks in terms of Eov, in terms of Shir Hashirim, in terms of Eretz Yisrael. The famous drush he gave in 1956 was a very important drush that he gave. And there he pointed out that that what the Kadosh Baruch Hu asks of us is the Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us various situations. That is our fate, that's our goro. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu asks of us to find our destiny within those situations. to make our goral into our yud, to make our destiny, our faith, and switch it around to become a moment, an act of destiny. And the Rav pointed out the Rav was pointing out that he was speaking in, I think, 56, looking back at the 40s. And on one hand, the catastrophe of the Shoah, on the other hand, the establishment of the State of Israel. So he was pointing out that the way that we have to look at it is we will never understand the early 40s. We'll never understand 39 to 45. That is beyond human comprehension. Nevertheless, we still have to see that there was a certain goral, a certain fate that Kadosh Baruch Hu sent upon us. And then, in the 47, 48, when he gave us a moment of destiny where we could make certain decisions and move that desperate time into a time that gave us direction and ultimately forms of geula. The Rav says in very personal terms as well. In a person's individual life, we get certain situations which are not by our own choosing and not by our own design, but each of those situations is an opportunity to confront them and define them as definitive moments, definitive situations which can become very meaningful. So Rav Asher Weiss says the following. He says that the pasuk, the medrash is very strange. To take a medrash and bend it so far out of its chant. And then he says, what also is a problem is there are really four bloods over here. There's b'damayich is plural. So, v'omalach b'damayich hayi, v'omalach b'damayich hayi, there should be four mitzvahs. So he thinks that the point is like this, v'omalach b'damayich hayi, that I saw you overcome and overwhelmed by your blood, by your pain, by your suffering. That was the goral, that was the fate that I cast upon you. V'omalach, and I told you that I'm going to give you two mitzvahs. And it's up to you to move things beyond the destiny, which the fate that you have. I give you two mitzvahs, two covenants. Dam Pesach, in which you can express your ability to make yourself independent of the culture and the paganism around you. V'dam Bris, and another mitzvah in which you can express your closeness to Ribbono Shel Olam. So, but the Maya Chayi, as you're suffering, I'm giving you an opportunity to change that event to become an event which is ultimately built up to Geula. The Baal HaZohar goes on to discuss the next pasuk. Vayirei Osonu Mitzrayim Mitzrayim thought badly of us. They wanted to, they didn't do badly to us, but the very first shlav, the first step of any kind of discrimination, of any kind of oppression, is some kind of discrimination. So, Vayirei Osonu Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim sent Havanas Chakmalo to be a fifth column, and we better watch ourselves out, watch out for them. Sikrenu Melchama, maybe there'll be a war. Nosafu Gam Seneinu. This is the easiest route to go. If one wants to discriminate against a certain group, easiest way to go is to make an issue of security. Right? So therefore, v'hova neschakmalo pen yirbe v'hoya ki sikrenu melchama. The Ramban says the Nisrim liked us. We saved Mitzrayim. They knew that Yosef saved Mitzrayim from famine. They liked the Jewish people. Paro had to begin an entire change of psychology to get them to hate us. So what do? The first thing you say, security. Right? V'nosa, if there'll be a war, so then they won't be so friendly to us. Then v'nosa, fulgam al seineinu, there'll be other people who hate us. So when the Jews have to decide whose side they're on, v'nocham bonu, and there'll be a war, v'olam et haaretz, so then they'll check out. Right? They're not on our side. They're not really part of us. So anunu kamosha nema v'yisimul nesorim v'yisim l'man anosu v'yisim l'osam. And then the next step the Ramban says is make it to the benefit of the Egyptians. That's the next way you get people to discriminate. So first, sorim v'yisim, make them pay taxes. So everybody has to pay taxes. Right? But l'man anosu v'yisim l'osam. The point was to push them down. The point was to deprive the Jewish people. And the point was to make the Egyptians feel that they want to benefit. Ramban says that the very first step in the Shibud Mitzrayim was having the Egyptians giving the Egyptians the right to hire Jewish handymen, to hire Jewish help. That is the first thing. That any Egyptian go into the street and say that he needs some work done in the house, he needs something cleaned up, he needs to dig a hole, take two Jews off the street. So when you make it so good to dislike another person, and it's so much to your benefit, and you're so much to gain, the Ramban says that was the first thing was security. Then, once they saw the Jews being separate, he said the taxes, that they're different people, so therefore they have different taxation. Ramban says that was common in cultures before, earlier cultures, that if it was a non-native group, a non-indigent group, they paid a different set of taxes. Citizens pay one tax, and resident aliens pay a different kind of tax. Look, that was, and then what was the tax? So the Ramban says, well, the very first thing was that they are available help. They're available domestic help. Don't have to pay. That was their tax for the citizens of the people. So the Ramban says, you make it so good, right? So then it's easy to, then everything comes to you. And then once they had made it good to dislike the Jews, or to see the Jews as a lower class, so then Paro hired them as a national slave, so to speak, to build the Pitom Ramses. What was the turning point of the Shibud Mitzrayim? So it says the Pasuk points out, Vayomas Melech Mitzrayim, Vayitzak El Hashem Lekeinu, right? Vayitnu, that's one of the services we have, is that we have our Haggadahs, and we always have Haggadah with the Pirush, so you only see a few lines of the Haggadahs. Everybody comes to the table with a huge sefer. So some of the younger kids get very depressed when you begin the Zman Hashtana and you have a long way to go. So it's only if I would think that if we would take it at the back of the Rambam, at the back of Hillel's Chumash B'Matzah, he has his Haggadah. His Haggadah is almost like our Haggadah, but it puts on two pages. No more portion. So if we would come to the Seder, and everybody would come with two sides, I think 8x14, I think we'd get almost the entire Haggadah on two sides. And I think a lot of people that love are cheerful. And they sit down and say, right, so then we could fool them and start smoothing as we go along. But they see that there's the end's in sight. So, who's going through the Haggadah, this one with Mephoshim, it takes a few minutes to get from page to page. So then the turning point is that, Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Avisenu Vayishma Hashem Eskeleinu Vayar Sanenu Vesamleinu Vesalachatzenu. The turning point is, our tefillah to Rabbanu, we began to turn to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So here if we look at the psukim carefully, we see that the pasuk that we're darshaning says, Vanitzak, we cried out. Vayishma Hashem, Hashem heard our cries. But when we go back to the psukim in Shemos, and we expand on this, we say, Vayi vayomer Ravamahein, vayomos melech Mitzrayim. And the king of Mitzrayim died. So So I mentioned before, they didn't say his name, Rav Itzel Vlozhiner, says that what's the connection of Vayomas Melech Mitzrayim Vayonchu Bnei Yisrael Min Avoda, is when the old king died and the new king maintained the exact same policy. So he said, no, we can't look towards Mitzrayim for any kind of concern, any kind of compassion. If the new king is already so entrenched in the Shibud, Vayonchu v'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda. This is very interesting. It says, Vayonchu, they groaned. Right? Min ha'avoda. Vayizoku, and they cried out to Hashem. Vatal shavosam Elohim min ha'avoda. And their cries came up to Ribbono Shel'Olam from the avoda. Vayishma Elohim es na'akosam. And they heard, again, our custom is our yelping, our crying. Vayizkor Elokim is brisa. It would sound like we didn't do any formal davening, any formal prayer. We didn't formulate, this is what it sounds like. Vanitzak El Hashem, that can go either way. We cried, we davened. So the Havalagoda says, look at the psukim. Vayonchu, they groaned. Vayizaku, and they screamed out. So in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if Vayizaku is a tefillah, is Vatal Shavosam, Elohim min ha'avoda. I think Rav Shimshon Pinkus, one of the great, Metif, one of the great Darshanim in Eretz Yisrael, he was killed in a traffic accident, I think, 2 years ago, Erev Pesach. So now they're printing many of his svarim. So he makes this point in his Agada, that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize that every sigh of a Jew is a form of davening. Every cry of a Jew is a form of davening. There's formulated davening, when you put ideas together, put words together. But the Baal Agada is saying is, go back to Tzias Mitzrayim, v'yishmalikim is na'akosam. The fact that a Jew is just, some of the Jews just give out a yelp, kvetch, he makes the point that we should be sure to make sure that when we give out a groan, when we give it a sigh, we should realize it's a tefillah of Ribono Shel Olam. We shouldn't waste it. I think they tell a story of the Baruch Be'er when he was a kid. A very precocious kid, so when he was, it wasn't Bar Mitzvah yet. He did something he shouldn't have done, so his father gave him a patch, and it hurt, and he began to cry. So it was around Mincha time. So he was crying, he went to get a Siddur Davening Mincha. So his father said to him, "Now you're Davening Mincha, there's going to be a minyan later on, why are you Davening Mincha?" He got the problem, I was getting the worst problem. So Baruch Be'er said to his father, he said, "I was crying anyways." So he figured, "I might as well Davening Mincha." He said, "I might as well make use of this, why should I cry over the patch? I might as well cry and Davening Mincha." So that's the idea that Finkus develops over here as well. That much of davening, much of our ability to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu is entirely a natural part of a person. And we shouldn't think that when we daven and we have to say certain mishchos and certain ideas and certain words and stand in a certain way and certain movements, v'chulei v'chulei, we shouldn't think that that's davening and it's an unnatural, learned, imposed thing on a person. That's the exact opposite. That the person naturally davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every single kvetch, every single yelp of Kadosh Baruch Hu is listening to that, that trecht. And all of davening is something that's very much contained in the natural fiber of a person. And then, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes every single concern that we have very, very seriously. And every becomes part of a tefillah that a Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts. And that's how the Haggadah moves on, that it was these moments of davening, these moments of tefillah, which moved Kadosh Baruch Hu to keep the chus avos and take into account the suffering that had already become much, much more than the chronological years that that they had represented, and that moved began to move the geula. So that's Hashem. That's part of our senate as well, to take a moment out v'isha omda and say shaloi. It wasn't only in that generation. But every generation has its times of golus and has its goral, and Kadosh Baruch Hu should look at the various tzaokos, the various cries and yelps that so many of us have in this door, and move on the geula at a quicker pace. Hi,